السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسول الکریم اما بعد. This is a kitab آداب الصالحین which was read from cover to cover in the مجلس of the مولانا وسیع اللہ رحمۃ اللہ علیہ. One of the chapters here is امر بالمعروف and نہی عن المنکر. Most of it has been, of course, taken from Ihya ul-Ulum and other such kitabs. But the gist is for every one of us. معلوم کرو کہ امر بالمعروف اور نہی عن المنکر من جملہ فرائض کے ایک فریضہ ہے. To invite towards good and to forbid evil is a farz. Just like we have many other things which are farz, it is also farz. However, it is not farz-e-ayn, it is farz-e-kifaya. In certain cases it becomes farz-e-ayn for that particular person, it becomes farz for him. But that is something that we will discuss inshallah later. چنانچہ آیات قرآنیہ، احادیث نبویہ اور اقوال و آثار صحابہ سے یہی معلوم ہوتا ہے، لیکن فرض عین نہیں ہے بلکہ فرض کفایہ ہے. قرآن مجید میں اللہ تعالیٰ ارشاد فرماتے ہیں کنتم خیر امت اخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنہون عن المنکر. You are the best of امت taken out, evolved for the benefit of mankind. Your special characteristic is that you invite towards good, make amar bil ma'ruf, and you make nahi anil munkar, you forbid from the doing of evil. Is ummat ki khairiyat ko اس سے وابستہ کیا ہے. That why are you the best of ummat, because this is your special characteristic. You make amar bil maruf, you make nahi anil munkar. ایک مقام پر فرمایا تعاونوا علی البر والتقوی ولا تعاونوا علی الاثم والعدوان. Assist and help one another in matters of piety and taqwa. When it is something that is of piety, taqwa, then assist and help. Get together, work together, discuss together, whatever it is. But if it is something that will improve the quality of that person's spiritual life, it is something that is of bir and taqwa, then you must assist. But if it is anything that has got to do with haram, or with anything that is forbidden, anything that is indecent, shameless, something that Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are displeased with, then don't assist the other person in such kind of action, in such kind of planning, in such kind of discussion. Don't assist the other person. Because if you are going to assist the person, you'll become a party to it. If people are planning to harm someone, and we give the person mashwara there, that if you want to commit fraud, then this is how we must plan the fraud. So now that person will also become a party, whether he commits that fraud or not. But if he gave some advice, then he is also part of that sin, because he has assisted in a sin. The same goes for many, many functions of ours, in which we know that there's going to be indulgence in sins, in vices, in evils, in haram. Now at that time we look at the faces of the people and we say, well, this is my very, very good customer, so I have to assist. There are many people now, the month of Christmas or the December will come and Christmas time will come. Now at that time they will say it's traditional that people normally give a few bottles of alcohol and wine to those who are premium customers. So they give them bottles of wine, they give them alcohol, and then they say, but those are non-Muslim customers. So when this discussion is taking place in the boardroom, then that poor Muslim who is working for that company, now he says that, how can I say that this is wrong? Because my job is at stake. So he too will assist, because he will be ordered now by the manager, by the director, that now you place the order for so many cases of wine, so many cases of... We get calls, people are saying, what do? We are told from the management, there's nothing wrong with it. We are distributing to non-Muslims. So don't assist at such a time. Tell the person nicely, we are Muslims and it is not permissible to drink alcohol, to buy alcohol, to transport alcohol, to distribute alcohol, to give as a gift alcohol. It's not permissible. Therefore, I cannot be a participant in this decision of yours. So Amar bil Maruf and Nahi anil Munkar is not something just specific to one small set part of Islamic teachings. It is wide implication it has. In different fields you will be faced with a situation where you have to make Amar bil Maruf Nahi anil Munkar. Now where you have got some kind of authority, where you have got some kind of power, where you have got some kind of voice and some kind of clout, then at that time it is necessary for that person to use that and stop that person from haram and order the person to do that which is good. But if the person fears his life, or he fears he will not be able to bear the backlash of that advice and of that nasihat, that manager is bound to fire him same time, same place, same day, same minute. And this person's iman is not solid enough to withstand the consequences of that nasihat. Now he will lose his faith also. He will go to more haram, because he was trying to make nasihat, and when he lost his job, so now he says that this is what happened. I made nasihat and I lost my job. So those people who say that at sometimes, you know, you allow that person to carry on without saying anything, it's not that they're making halal haram or haram halal. But because that person, his iman is at stake, he is weak in his iman, he does not have that kind of commitment or that kind of yaqeen in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as Razzaq. And he believes that now if this man is going to fire me, then what? I'm going to starve to death. And then he sometimes attributes that to that nasihat, that because I made that, if I had not made that, I would have been safe. The person is, for example, working with an insurance company, life insurance. And we know that many of these life insurances or insurance policies have led to the death of those people who took out that insurance policies. Sons have murdered the fathers, wives have murdered husbands, husbands have murdered wives because of those insurance policies. So whatever Shariat prohibits and says it's a gamble, it's haram, is haram. There's some great benefit in there. Nevertheless, or the person is working in some company or the other which is not permissible. Now at such a time you tell that person, give it up now and now. So that person, if he gives it up, if he's got that kind of yaqeen and trust in Allah Ta'ala that the market is wide open, he can find something else to sustain himself, then no problem. But if that person says that, no, you see, now because I obeyed and I followed what Shariat says, that is why now I'm suffering. 2 months rent not paid now, and I'm getting notice and this type of things. So if this person is going to blame it on following Shariat, then he rather stay in that haram and consider it as haram. He rather stay in that haram considering it as haram, not considering it as halal. It doesn't make it halal, but it is wiqaya, it is a protection for his iman, that at least his iman will stay intact. He will not lose his iman. many people ask about these type of things. So this is what is taken into consideration. The individual, what is his level of iman? If his level of iman is this, that I don't care, whatever happens, I'm going to obey and follow the Sharia, Allah Ta'ala is my Razzaq. He is the provider, he is the sustainer. Then at such a time, that person must be told, give it up now and now. Allah Ta'ala will provide. So ta'awanu ala al-birri wa taqwa wa la ta'awanu ala al-ithmi wa al-udwan. Madad karo ek dusre ki neki aur taqwa par, aur na madad karo upar gunah aur ta'addi ke. Chunanche Quran Sharif mein aisi ayat hai jo ki amr bil ma'ruf aur nahi anil munkar par dalalat karti hai, bahut si warid hui hai. There are many many ayat and verses of the Quran Sharif in which Muslims and believers have been ordered to make amr bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar. Hadith Sharif mein aata hai ki ek din Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne sahaba ikram ki ek jamaat se farmaya ke tumhara us din kya hal hoga jab ke sarkashi karengi tumhari auratein. When your women will become rebellious, disobedient, what will be your condition at that time? He is asking the sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. They will become disobedient, they will become fasiqs, they will become rebellious. So at that time, what will be your condition? So the sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will such a time come? They never expected such a time will come. He said, Naam washad, yes, and even more worse than that. Isse bhi zyada sakht. Isse zyada shadeed halat aayenge. Aur wo kya hoga? Wo fasaqa fityanukum. And your youth, they will become fasiqs. Youth will go completely out of control. There will be no respect in their lives for the elderly. There will be no mercy for those who are younger than themselves. They will behave like those people who have got no deen in them. They will also follow the same cultural pattern, lifestyle of those who disbelieve in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Whatever you can attribute. Look at our times and then think of this Hadith Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is predicting from that time. So now the Sahaba-e-Kiram, their youth, their children, look at their shock. Look at in battle of Badr, look at in the other battles. At jihad time, those young boys, they were standing on their toes so that they may be selected for jihad. Young children. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is returning them, too young, come next day. But their shock and their jazba is to make ibadah, to make zikr, to make tilawat, to make khidmat of the khalq, of the creation of Allah Ta'ala, to give their lives in the cause of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's deen. This was their mizaj, this was their jazba. So they couldn't understand. They said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will become fasiqs. Will such a time come? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Naam wa ashad. Yes, and even worse than that. Then he said that what will be your condition at that time when you will stop making amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar? You will be seeing with your very eyes in your own homes, in your children, in the society, everywhere you will be seeing with your own eyes so much of sins being committed, but you will not have the himmat, the courage to make any kind of amar bil ma'roof nahi anil munkar. Person will always be concerned about how it will affect his own fortune, how it will affect his respect, how it will affect his pocket, how it will affect his friendship. These are the things that we are concerned about these days. That my amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar, what will it do to my finances and my respect, my wajahat, if I'm going to say that which is haqq, if I'm going to say that which Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are pleased with, then these people who are around me, they all disperse. My friends will become my enemies. So now this person doesn't want to make amr bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar. But again, as I said, that we must keep that in mind, that we have to see the occasion and see the person and make with hikmat. At certain times, Amar bil Maruf can be done with absolute silence and with dua, and by our practical action that it is haram. Amar bil Maruf at certain times can be done with our action. You walked into a house and the person has got the movie on there, and we know that it is filthy pictures this person is watching. And now if you go inside there and tell that person it's haram, put it off. Lanat of Allah Ta'ala, curse of Allah Ta'ala. And if he has to back answer and say, you all are all orthodox and you are living in camel age, and what you all know what enjoyment and fun is and pleasure is. You all don't have any kind of enjoyment in life, you all suffering boredom. So na'uzu billah, if he has to say that, at that time what will happen? That person will lose his iman. So you must make Amar bil Maruf and Nahi anil Munkar, both is essential even at that time. But on that occasion, the Amar bil Maruf, Nahi anil Munkar, whatever you are going to do, will be by your own practical action. You tell that person, you are busy at present, I will come little later. So he says, no, come inside. Say, no, I can see you a bit busy watching something. And I don't have the himmat and the courage to take the azab of Allah Ta'ala in the akhirat. I'm very weak. I can't even put my finger on that flame of fire that burns over that little candle. So I don't have that himmat to take the azab of akhirat. So I will see you later. That's all. Now that is Amar bil Maruf, or it is Nahi anil Munkar. That person got a little bit intelligence, will understand what you have told him. And make dua. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, what will be your condition when you are not going to make Amar bil Maruf and Nahi anil Munkar? The Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, kya aisa bhi waqt aane wala hai? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes, naam washat. What will be your condition when you will call towards munkarat, you will call towards haram, you will call towards evil, you will call towards fisq and fujur? The invitation to the friends will be, join us, let's go to the rave club, let's go to the disco, let's go to the cinema, let's go here, let's go there. That means the invitation now will be to haram places, invitation will be to sinful places, to vice dens. Now that was something beyond their understanding. One was that they not, that you, the time will come when you are not going to make Amar bil Maruf and Nahi anil Munkar. Now here it's a total opposite. Not only lacking in this Amar bil Maruf and Nahi anil Munkar department, but in fact now inviting towards haram, inviting towards evil. And this was the purpose of reading this Hadith Sharif, which you have heard many, many times. That we are all talking about what's happening, what's happening, what's happening. Well, this is what is happening. That at present everybody is calling. Forget about what the Maulanas say and what the Mufti Sahib says and what the Buzruk say and the Allah Wallahs say. This is a world which you must enjoy yourself. Come, let's go. And the person doesn't want to do anything alone. He wants to take his friends along with him. He wants to make sure that he doesn't go into Jahannam alone. Khud to dube hai sanam, tumhe bhi leke dubenge. Why must I drown on my own? I must drag you also. So he said, what will be your condition at that time? Now that was very shocking to the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Such a time will come when people will actually take others also in the wrong direction. Now keep this Hadith Sharif in mind and look at our situation. General, don't look at a few people that sit in atikaf and sit in the masjid. Go to the cinemas, discos, theatres, gambling dens, rave clubs, dancing shows and everything that's taking place. Which person wants to go alone? He wants to take his wife with, wants to take his children with, wants to take his friends with. In fact, he sometimes says, I've got a free ticket for you, complimentary ticket. Why must you worry? Complimentary. In other words, with his compliment you must land yourself in fire of Jahannam. Was to dispatch us to hellfire with his compliments. So Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala wa ajma'in, they got even more concerned. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a time will come when the people will actually invite towards evil. They will actually call towards haram. They will actually call towards fisq and fujur. They will actually divert the people from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. They will take them to those places of sin and vice and evil, to those places where Allah Ta'ala's wrath and anger descends. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Naam wa ashad. Yes, that time will come, and even worse than that. Isse bhi zyada shadeed. What will be your condition when you will consider the evil as good and the good as evil? At present, anything that is evil is good. And if any person has to say anything against that evil, then he is the one that is given all kinds of labels, titles. He is called a madman, he is called a stupid, he is called foolish. And such a way they come down upon him, like a ton of bricks on his head, that that poor person has to shut his mouth. And if anybody else was even thinking of supporting his view, that this is haram, this is forbidden, this is not right, then that person too covers his head with a blanket and sleeps away. He says, I don't have the courage to listen to those calls of all those callers in which they are going to hammer me as also stupid and foolish and madman. The evil and the bad is considered as good, and the good is considered as evil. خود تو بدلتے نہیں قرآن کو بدل دیتے ہیں. So the times of fitna, this is what I am repeatedly emphasizing, that we are living in times of fitna. And fitnas are coming in the garb of deen now, from different quarters in the garb of deen. We are being attracted towards those things which are haram, forbidden. But outside, the cover that is given is that of deen. And if any person has to say anything, how can you do this? Then all kinds of labels, titles are given to the person. And even those shows and those films and so many things are now declared as completely permissible and halal for viewing. And not only that, but Islam is put on those shows. Islamic show, Islamic fashion show, Islamic music, Islamic wine, halal brandy. They say they've taken out those things from that brandy which cause intoxication, so now you get halal alcohol. In the banking sector, so much of haram goes through it, so much of interest transactions. But the terminology that will be used, mudaraba, musharika, this, that, you will think that these people, who they must be really such concerned Muslims. But how can they be concerned Muslims when they are got their legs on both sides? One in the conventional banking system and the other in the Islamic banking system. Both sides. One side taking and giving of interest is fully acceptable. They find no problem with it. And the other side, when they are directors or managers or people working with the Islamic banking, then at that time they will say that now we must comply with Sharia. I'm talking about general condition of the world. I'm not talking about any specific Islamic bank. I don't know the details of each bank. But go around the world and see. And those same muftis who gave fatwas at one time, then suddenly when they saw the avalanche of haram transactions, then suddenly they said, no, these were all interest transactions. Now how many people with their compliments again have consumed that which was haram? So Islamic, everything is Islamic. Islamic radio stations. And then check how much of it is Islamic. That usage of some slot or the other by some ulama of ours, or even what they take from here and all that, does not condone everything that comes on those stations. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi had his tafsir on Radio Pakistan. And not for one day or 2 days or 10 days, he had it for years. And he was a very, very pious Grand Mufti of Pakistan. Khalifa of Hazrat Mujaddid-e-Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi. Full of taqwa and piety. After his program, 2-3 programs later, there used to be filmy Ghana music and everything that used to come on Radio Pakistan. But because he was not controlling that station, he had no control over that station. It's not that he could switch it off and on. But the benefit of that, which was going to the large number of or millions of Muslims of Pakistan, so that slot which was given to him, he made use of it. But he didn't go and condone all the other things that were happening there. Whenever there was a need to say that this is not right or that is not right, then he was bold enough and courageous enough to say that that is not right. Whether they made amal or not, that was their business. But they were not bought or sold. They were not paid to be presenters. So the person must have that courage if he wants to make use of those things. But what I am saying is that we are not looking at any specific radio station or specific Islamic bank, because we don't know the details of all that. But we are talking about around the world. How many, many countries, Muslim countries, they will say that this is a Muslim radio station. And Muslim or Islamic television. And who are the presenters there? Those same women, dressed up like dolls, and they are presenting. What they are presenting? Islam. And they are interviewing the woman dressed up in her un-Islamic attire, and now she is going next to all those sheikhs and everybody and interviewing them. What is your opinion about fasting in Ramadan? And how do you give zakat, and how do you make hajj, and all those kind of things, and your opinion on the Middle East. And now that is Islamic television. So why use Islam then? Don't use Islam. Just call it any other TV station. There are many, many other haram things that are taking place in the world. So it will be one more addition to that, as long as they're considering it as haram. But when you give it that label of Islamic, then it becomes a very serious matter. Now these things are not palatable. These are the things which when we say it's not acceptable. You cannot digest it easily, especially those people who are in all these type of things. They cannot digest it. And that is when you get all those titles, orthodox, outdated. They are not living in the 20th century or 21st century. They are living in the camel age. They are living in those times when there was no technology and no science. Are bhai, nobody stops from progress in technology and in science. Become the best scientists and invent such things which will become useful for people. There's nothing wrong with that. Make use of the technology for comfort, for travel, for other kinds of purposes, business. But don't use it for haram. Don't use it as an instrument to invite towards haram. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that the time will come when the haram will be considered as halal, or when that which is totally forbidden, that will be considered as good. So we can see that we have now come to that time. Therefore we conclude in the next 5 minutes that we have. حدیث شریف میں آتا ہے کہ اس شخص پر لعنت اترتی ہے جو کسی ایسی جگہ جائے یا موجود رہے جہاں لوگ ظلم کر رہے ہو اور یہ اس ظلم کو ان سے دفع نہ کرے. اس حدیث کی روح سے تو گوشہ نشینی کا وجوب نکلتا ہے, کیونکہ یہاں منع کرنے سے عاجز ہونے کو عذر نہیں قرار دیا گیا ہے, اس لیے کہ عاجز تھا تو وہاں گیا کیوں, اور دیکھنے کے بعد پھر وہاں رکا کیوں. So he said, you can't call yourself mazoor. I was helpless. I went there and then I couldn't walk out. Was anybody placing the gun at your head that you couldn't walk out? You go to a hall and music started playing there, in that wedding or walima or in that hall. So now who has put the gun? At the most they will fire a few bullets of criticism. They have placed a gun to the head, but that gun is of words. It won't kill you. Those words are not going to kill the person. And for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if he moves away from there, then those words also will increase his darajat. He will have some munasibat with Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. That Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was also called sahir and majnoon, and what labels and titles were given to him. That he is creating friction and division and disunity. He is breaking the families, he is separating them. Somebody is accepting Islam, somebody is not accepting, so the brothers, sisters, now they labeled all kinds of things, they gave him all kinds of titles. So now this person, if he's criticized, then he's got some munasibat now, that for the sake of haq, he was criticized. We take so much of criticism for other things. Don't people criticize us for other things, for worldly things? You didn't do this right, you couldn't put that right, you didn't build the wall straight, you didn't do the fittings correctly. I asked you to do this or do that, you didn't put it right. In the school, yeah, there, everywhere, in the offices, in the factories, there's so much of criticism a person has to listen to. So for the sake of that packet that they get at the end of the month, you prepare to listen to so much of criticism. So for the sake of deen, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's deen, somebody is disobeying, and you have to present haq in a haq manner with haq niyat. Then if somebody criticizes, then that is a munasibat with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. There's a kind of munasibat that the person must say in his heart, that Ya Allah, your shukr, your ihsan upon me, that for the sake of deen today, this person is criticizing. And that will become a means of his elevation of status and darajat. So whilst in i'tikaf, this is another thing that we must now make up our minds. And when we get out of this i'tikaf at the end of the month, then amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar must become part of our lives. It's not necessary, there must be a big group, then only you do amar bil ma'roof nahi anil munkar. In our homes, in our factories, in our businesses, wherever, to whatever extent we can do, we do. Where we cannot tolerate or we cannot bear the backlash, we will not be able to bear the consequences of that amar bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. So then they make dua, but at least consider that evil as evil in the heart. And don't look at it as something that's very good, although in appearance it may seem to be very good. That is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says in that hadith sharif, man ra'a minkum munkaran fal yughayyirhu bi yadi fa illam yastati' fa bi lisani wa illam yastati' fa bi qalbi. And some have given that with the heart means that if you can't change it with your tongue also, you can't make any speech, you can't give any nasihat, you can't seem to say anything about it, you are so weak, then at least consider it evil in the heart. And another meaning of that has been given, then use the power of your heart, your dua. If Allah Ta'ala has given some kind of noor in the heart and some tajalli in the heart, Allah Ta'ala has given the power of dua to everybody, then use that qalb, cry, ask Allah Ta'ala for hidayat for those people. And then see, inshallah, that person will get hidayat. Don't stop saying, but continue with amar bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq of making amal, because it is a duty upon every Muslim. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. وَعَفُ عَنَّا وَاخْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا وَعَفُ عَنَّا وَاخْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا وَعَفُ عَنَّا وَاخْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ فانصرنا على القوم الظالمين. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الشقاق والنفاق وسوء الأخلاق. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. The question is, what should we have in mind when we're reading Quran Sharif? Are we reading to Allah Ta'ala and making Him listen, or what? Quran Sharif is a sifat of Allah Ta'ala, Kalamullah. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is His Kalam. So it has both sides to it. When the person is reading, on the one hand, he is the Qari, he is reading the Quran Sharif, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is listening. And because it is the Kalam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then it is as if Allah Ta'ala Himself is reading the Quran Sharif and you are listening. So it is a very beautiful feeling when you read like that, that my Allah is listening to His own Kalam, and Allah's Kalam I am reading. So it's both ways. On that we can give a whole hour speech, but that is this thing that Kalam of Allah Ta'ala. Every word is Allah Ta'ala's Kalam. That is why I was telling our brother Dawood earlier on, and you have got the same kind of problem too, so that's why, that in your families there are people who haven't accepted Islam and they have doubts about Islam and they have some kind of hesitation to accept Islam. So now what do you do in such a case when your mother or father or brother or somebody is not accepting Islam and they are very disappointed that you have left Islam and their religion and their faith and you have gone into another line altogether? And sometimes they say that we brought you up, we sacrificed so much for you, we spent so much on your education and we did this and we did that. So at such a time, what do you do? So I was explaining to Dawood that such a time you don't make tabligh, that accept Islam, this is Islam, do this, do that, you don't do that. At that time you tell them ma or mummy or daddy or whatever you call them, tell them I truly appreciate and sincerely appreciate all what you all did for me. So much you all spent on my education, so much you all spent on my clothing and so much you all spent on my other needs. So I truly appreciate that. And I'm quite sure that all that spending that you were doing was because I was your beloved child and you wanted to see me really succeed in life, to make something of myself and to be prosperous and to be happy and to get the best. That is why you are giving me all that. So what you are seeing now in me is the fruits of your sacrifice. You tell them like that. Say, what you are seeing in me is the fruits of your sacrifice. That because you wanted to see me get the best, so I studied the Quran Sharif And I found that they don't have one person in this world who can, who has by heart and memorized the Bible, and he can read it from A to Z. And yet I noticed with my own eyes, and living amongst the Muslim community, that millions and millions of people, little children who don't even know a word of Arabic, but they're reciting the whole Quran Sharif by heart. Then if I traveled around in China, Japan, Hong Kong, Timbuktu and Honolulu, wherever I went, I found that it's the same Quran Sharif. There's no difference even in one word or one letter. That there is no alteration, no change, no addition. So in that Quran Sharif I found that life in this world is transitory. And what you wanted, that I must be successful, really prosperous and happy. So I realized that that I could have got only through following this Quran Sharif, which is the Kalam of Allah, and it has got no change, no alteration, and it can be tested that it is the authentic. And the Prophet of Islam also, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we checked his akhlaq, his character, everything. So I accepted that faith. So it's the fruits of your sacrifice that you wanted me to see in me the best. So I accepted this because I see the best in this. And I would very much like that everyone in the family also sees what are the beauties of this faith, so that they get the best of this world and the here and the next world. And I found this change, I found this, I found that. You don't tell him, you to accept it. And then you go out of your way to be kind to them. In all other matters you go out of your way to be kind to that mother, to be kind to that father, give them gifts, talk to them politely, and do more khidmat of them that you would have done before. So now they will see, no, this person after accepting Islam, I thought they hate us, they dislike us, they dispatch us to old age homes and Jahannam, but here they want us also to go to a life of bliss and happiness, and then follow it up with your tahajjud duas and your two rakat salatul haja. Then inshallah you will see Allah Ta'ala will, if that person does not accept Islam, then at least the heart will be softened. But inshallah there's great hope that after that your life will make them accept Islam. Where the problem these days is that a person accepts Islam, then he forsakes them, doesn't have anything to do with them. And they get some kind of wrong message and ideas when they listen to bayans and things, that now non-Muslims have nothing to do with them. That is right, when it will come to disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, where they say, accept our deen, if you like us and love us, then we will say the same thing that Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu told to his mother, that you can do what you like. Even if you had 100 lives and you had to give it away, starved to death, I won't change my deen. Because la ta'ata li makhluq fi ma'siyatil khaliq. So that I won't do. But besides that, everything else, your khidmat, what you need, what you require. So that person will soften up and accept Islam. So kalamullah is something that you can present with confidence, that is tested and tried. No change, no alteration, no addition. No matter how much they try, they can't change it. Millions of people got it in the heart. Where are you going to erase it from the heart? But tell them to bring one priest and tell him to read the Bible from A to Z, and say, then we'll consider after that. And then again say, which one must I follow? Which version? This version, that version, that version. There's so many editions and so many versions. So then inshallah even the families will come. So make that niyat, inshallah, when you return, that's part of that Amar bil Ma'ruf Nahi Anil Munkar. Invitation towards Islam, invitation towards Deen. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala use you all and use us for the hidayat of millions of people. MashaAllah, very happy to see you. Make dua for me. People like yourself, Dawood and others, sacrifices that you all have made, not easy to go against the whole family and society that you lived in. So I truly have great love for such people. Sincerely. And I make dua that, Ya Allah, with the sacrifices of these people, accept us also. MashaAllah. If you need anything, don't hesitate. Tell me or tell any one of these people, inshallah. It needs will be. Allah Ta'ala make your few days that you're going to spend here beneficial. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.